up the trail toward their mine, not paying attention to where he stepped. A low-hanging branch knocked off his boulder as he failed to duck in time. Cursing, he put down the two scrawny rabbits he had bagged and picked up the hat. A quick swipe of his forearm brushed off dirt, or most of it. The hat had seen better days since he bought it in London, and his British Army officer's jacket had been patched so many times it was more repair than original cloth. The epaulets had been ripped off when he was cashiered, and the gold braid had long since turned black from oxidation and filth. His cavalry boots needed polishing, and the gun belt strapped around his waist, carrying a well-used Webley Price, showed empty loops where spare ammunition normally rode. He wore a bandolier slung across his left shoulder, but the cartridge loops in it were as vacant as those in his gun belt. Ammo cost money. There wasn't anything about him that didn't have the rode hard, put away wet look. England Dan sank to a rock and worked more on the bowler. His collision with the tree limb left a sticky patch of pine sap. Using his thumbnail, he flicked it off. The gob landed in the dirt, perfectly domed and mocking. Detritus survived. His future was less well-formed and murky. He looked up suddenly when strange voices drifted downslope. Cooley often talked to himself and sang off-key when he worked. Answering himself in a different tone was brand new. This turned Dan wary. Perching his boulder securely on his head and brushing his unkempt, gray-streaked, sandy hair out of his eyes, he drew his six-gun and came to his feet slowly. Every sense strained. He made out two distinct voices rumbling from off the trail. He took a deep whiff of the air and caught the scent of tobacco. Someone with enough money to buy fixings for a smoke moved through the undergrowth. Choosing to rummage about in the dried bush rather than take the trail sent a new thrill through him. His feeling of impending disaster proved accurate. The only men who crept up on the mine like this were claim jumpers. A shot in their direction would solve a couple problems. It spooked men too cowardly to present themselves at the mine, and it warned his partner. Unless Cooley was actually working deep in the Trafalgar, he'd hear and know something was wrong. England Dan carefully broke open the Webley and saw four of the six chambers carried live rounds. Four bullets to fight off an unknown number of would-be thieves and murderers. An astute claim jumper had no reason to leave the miner alive. For the first time, he wished his hunting hadn't been so successful, if two rabbits merited such a label. His marksmanship was far better than his partner's, but he had taken a dozen shots to bring down this pitiful bounty. He had to do better with the claim jumpers. Slipping through the brush as quietly as possible, he found a deep footprint in the soft ground under a tree. He measured it against his own. He stood 6 feet tall. If the footprint was to be believed, the man making it was at least a head taller and 100 pounds heavier. To verify his guess, he found a second print and tried to put his feet in each. He held back a moan as he strained his crotch. The stride, even if the man was running, showed him to be a giant. England Dan ran his finger over the six-shooter's trigger. Four rounds, even of the potent 455 slugs, might not be enough to bring down a man this size. A brief thought flittered across his brain. Turn around. Leave his partner to his fate. He heaved a deep sigh and continued up the slope. John Cooley might do that. England Dan Rutledge wouldn't. He was made of sterner stuff, even if his father, the Earl, thought otherwise. Cooley was his partner, and partners watched out for each other. He crouched low when he caught sight of their cabin. No smoke puffed up from the chimney. Wherever Cooley was, he had abandoned the cabin to go there. Working around the cabin, he chanced a quick glance inside. Empty. He moved past a small mountain of black tailings to get a better look at the mouth of their mine. It was 50 feet upslope. The ore cart wasn't at the end of the track running into the mine. That told him what he needed to know. Cooley was working to fill that